Welcome to the Leon Fontaine Podcast, Senior Pastor of Springs Church and CEO of Miracle Channel. We hope you enjoy today's message.
We want to welcome all the other campuses of Springs Church. Welcome this church today. Someone mentioned the other day that, you know, our church is just too focused on TV. And I so one of the staff members told me, I said, are you kidding me? Every kid's got a TV in their hand. Every kid's also got an iPad somewhere on their desk. Or every grandpa and grandma's got a computer and iPad. We've got so many ways to touch people with God's word. Wouldn't we be foolish? You know, the Apostle Paul, he walked from city to city his entire life just to preach the word. We get to fly on a jet with a cup of coffee and a great sandwich and then show up. It's what God has given us as a church to bring the gospel to the world. If you've been here for a while, you know we're going to take every opportunity, every possible thing we can to tell beautiful people about Jesus. So anyway, thank you for helping me out. Father, as I speak today, I ask you to help me. Let your presence touch each one of us and guide us in the things that we need to grow in, to change in, or to know. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I'm going to talk about sharing your faith. Should you, could you, would you, how, where, when, why? It's a bit of a mess. So I want to give you some powerful guide. We're going to go to one scripture today that's going to rock your world. Because as I was preparing for this, it made me gasp as I realized how God had designed it. And I'd kind of missed it a little bit. Let me tell you two stories before I do. I'm on a plane. I sit down in my seat. Another guy comes and he sits beside me, and he's staring at me. So I look over at him and I'm thinking, okay, what's wrong? Is there food on my mouth? Is my zipper up? Like, what did I do wrong here? So as we get up in the air, all of a sudden, he starts sharing his faith with me. And I don't know if you've had a good experience or a bad experience, but I've had some really bad experiences with people sharing their faith with me. So he went on with how I'm going to hell. And I have a crazy sense of humor. Sally's always trying to straighten me up a little bit. So I just decided I'm going to play the worst sinner on the planet right now. So while he's sharing his message with me of Christianity, I'm just attacking everything. I'm taking them through dinosaurs and starving babies and world religions and you know, anything I can think of. And he's not a happy camper. He's berating me. He's condescending to me. He thinks he's better than me, but he can't out-talk me. So you can see smoke coming out of his ears. You know, just like, and finally, he looks at me and he goes, I don't care what you think and what you say. You don't accept Jesus, you're going to go to hell. So now I've had enough. I thought, oh, I said, dude, I'm a pastor. Now he goes, what? I said, I'm a pastor. And I said, I just got to tell you, like, I love sharing my faith too, but you suck at it. And then I began to share with him, like, the good news of the Bible. How has church messed it up so bad? How has religion destroyed the most gorgeous message on the planet? How can we get back to the simplicity and the beauty of just following Jesus and get rid of all the craziness that religion has brought to it? I can tell you one more story to get us back on a good footing. For years, I worked in a hospital and was being trained in a pilot project for the first paramedics in Manitoba. A number of us were Christians, and all of us can tell this story I'm about to tell you. One of the things we would do would be to assist the nurses in the hallways late at nights. In that specific hospital, if your chart had a red star on it, it meant that if anything was to go wrong with your breathing or your health, that nobody was to intervene. Either the person themselves or the family, if they were unconscious, had decided that they wanted to go. They didn't want Herculean efforts of CPR tubes, but they're at a place where the doctors believe there's nothing they could really do for them, and they wanted to as quietly and pain-free as possible, let them go. So I was walking down the hallway doing a duty for one of the nurses, and And I heard a voice come out of one of the rooms, and as I walked in onto the bed, you're always glancing at charts, and I noticed it was Red Star. I don't know if they still use that today. And so I looked at the man. I said, yeah, can I help you? He says, I'm cold. Could you get me a blanket? I said, absolutely. So I went and got him a warm blanket, and I'm going to cry somewhere. I'll just warn you right now. And I covered him up. And he said, could you talk to me for a while? I said, sure. So I got a chair and sat beside him, and we had beepers on that would get a hold of us the second we had an emergency call one floor down. And he told me that he was dying and they didn't expect him to make the night because he'd heard the nurses and the doctors talking about him. And I was just kind of quiet and just let him talk. And I don't remember the exact conversation because there were so many opportunities that we had, but I remember talking to him about how he was handling this. And he says, you know, I'm scared. He would have been in his early 80s, lived a long life. And he said, you know, everyone talks about death. And he said, I just know that the kind of beep, beep, beep life I've lived, I can't imagine what's going to happen on the other side of this. You just sense a palpable fear and a knowing there's nothing he can do. So I said, could I share a story with you? Yes. So I shared the story of Jesus, and that gospel is good news, and that what makes Christianity unique among the world religions is that all other religions hold the person at bay to produce and earn whatever they're trying to get to. Nirvana, peace, acceptance. But in true Christianity, there's nothing you can do but accept a gift and believe. So we had this conversation. His rebuttals were very normal. He said, well, Leon, you don't know what I've done. I said, dude, the guy that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament was a murderer, and he murdered Christians before God used him. Oh, I said, all through the Bible, men and women who God used were some of the most despicable people you could find. Oh, I said, you can't change enough to get God to forgive. It's a gift. So this conversation just went like that. It wasn't that long. And all of a sudden, hope began to rise in this elderly man who knew he didn't deserve it. But a gift is something you don't deserve. And in just probably about 30 minutes of us just chatting, I said, can I pray the prayer with you? He said, yes. He prayed the prayer, and I talked to him about heaven, told him what to expect. Sometime tonight. He had a big smile on his face, and he said to me, would you hold my hand? I said, yeah. And he died with a smile on his face. Those early years that I began to see people at the end of their lives really formed me and fashioned me for the pastoring that I do today. It made me just fall in love with people. People who just don't know any better. And to me, people weren't these sinners. They weren't these They were incredible people like me. They're just like me. I'm not better than them. I'm not higher. They just need to hear about the good news. And it changed the way I shared my faith. So today, as I take just 15 minutes and show you the power of sharing your faith, I want you to know, don't you ever be condescending. Don't you ever be arrogant. Don't you ever represent my Jesus or your Jesus in a way that thinks you're better or argue or debate. We represent. The Bible calls you, if you are a follower of Christ, it calls you an ambassador. If you were chosen as an ambassador for Canada to any country, how would you conduct yourself? How would you treat people? And that's the picture that the New Testament gives us as we share our faith with people. Now, anytime in the Bible that you've got something that appears in the Bible for the first time, you have a very important story, a very important teaching, because the first time something happens always gives us principles that you can see. So the first time you see a word in the Bible like faith, the first time you see a word in the Bible like blood, pay attention, because through that you can learn doctrinally some incredible things. I'm going to take you to a verse for the first time in the Bible where Jesus had converts, where Jesus had followers. And I'm going to show you something that I kind of knew, but I think I missed the power of it until I began to prepare these messages on ministry. I'm going to read it to you from John chapter 1 and verse 35. This is Jesus before 12 disciples. This is Jesus after being baptized in water and in the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus before anything has happened. Watch this. Again, the next day, John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples. He looked at Jesus as he walked, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples of John's heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi, teacher, where are you staying?" And he said, "Come and see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. But the 10th hour, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, who is Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, before introductions take place, Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. All right. If you have an introduction that did take place, you wouldn't have him saying, "You are Simon Peter," because I just said that. This is what the Bible calls a miraculous word of knowledge, where you would know something that was outside of your normal understanding. So Jesus looks at him and knows his name, his father, and then says to him, "I'm changing your name." Now, his name meant reed, or like a cattail, you know, just kind of blowing and soft in the wind. "But I'm going to name you Peter," which means rock. And this man followed Jesus from this point on for the rest of his days and even died for the cause of Christ. Now, this next one is even wilder. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip. And he says to Philip, "Philip, follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So Philip found Nathanael and says to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael says to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" But Philip didn't stop there. He said, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said of him as he's walking to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, who there is no deceit." Nathanael said, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." He was talking about in the spirit. He's talking about a vision. This is Jesus, the Son of God. And something is happening here. And he said, and Nathanael says to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." What took place in this greeting that made Peter die for this man and live his entire life for him? And by the way, we know he was a prosperous fisherman with multiple boats and houses. What was it that made Nathanael, who goes, "Can anything good come out of Winnipeg?" You ever hear that one? Danny. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" But something touched him so deeply, he knew this was God. You know, I hate religion. Hate it. Religion is man's attempt to control people, organize people, to make people feel guilty, make them feel bad, to put rules together to dominate their lives and make them do what you want. And Jesus didn't do any of those things. Jesus never came to start another religion. He came to end all religions and give everyone a unique relationship with God Himself. When you understand that, this thing becomes wow. You see, whenever you share the good news of Jesus with people, we encourage them to share your story. How did you meet Him? What do you think about Jesus? What does the Bible say about people and what Jesus has done for them? It's just a simple conversation that you don't have to convince people. You don't have to get dramatic. You don't have to get manipulative. You don't have to get, just share. All Andrew and Philip did, and I love Andrew and Philip, because both of them went and brought someone to Jesus. That's all they did. And then Jesus took it from there. Let me tell you something. You and I are called to share our faith. Called to share our faith. And you can't be a Christian and ignore that. You can't just live this life of knowing Him and enjoying the peace, the forgiveness, knowing what He's done, who you really are, which is way beyond the world will tell you who you are, that you can't know this and not be changed. So how can we not share our faith? But in each of these situations where we see His first converts, when they brought them to Jesus, there was a sign to them. The Bible uses two terms, often signs and wonders. We often just think it's just miracles of healings. But it could be a sign to you. It was a sign to Peter that he walked up and this guy knew his name and he knew his father and he knew that he had to change. So something within Peter had to be like that this rabbi, this teacher was doing something to him. He was saying, you've been called Simon, but I'm going to call you Peter. He was literally saying this, if you were to say this to us today, you know, your life's been a little bit wishy-washy. I'm going to help you become a man. In the way he said that to a Jewish man, he was saying, from reed to rock. That's what he was saying. And Peter knew he was telling the truth, that he was struggling with that as a man, probably. And then when Philip brings Nathanael, and Nathanael's already got an edge to him. Who's going to say, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That's like when you meet someone on the plane, like I do all the time. I say, where do you live? Oh, Winnipeg. Oh. Hello. You'll notice that when Nathanael said to Philip, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That's where a lot of people would quit. You might be sitting beside somebody for coffee or you're talking to someone and it just comes up, you know, my faith is an important thing to me. Or, you know, I just found a church that's not religious. And someone pushes back and goes, oh, I hate religion. And people just, oh, okay. Oh, excuse me. I don't want to bother. No. Philip was not pushed away by this guy's comment that, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He said, come and see. And I want to challenge you today that, why are we so wimpy with something so beautiful? Why are we so wimpy with something so powerful? Why are we so, you know, okay, gosh, golly gee, and when we've got... So don't let people just kind of push at you. Everybody here, including me, hates religion. Everybody here's got a church story. They go, ah! Everyone will. So don't let people push you away. They're beautiful, wonderful people that just need to hear it from somebody who's going to share their story with them and do it in a way that's beautiful. My brothers and I, we sing. And at every funeral in our family, my dad's side, my mom's side, and many of them have gone to be with Jesus. It's always the same song is requested. And I don't know if you all sing it, your family get-togethers, there's this one song that Grandma wants every time. And there's a song that we sing at every one of them. It's called Walking Gold. And I'm not going to sing it. But I'm going to give you a few words. The whole song is pointed at people's drive for career, people's drive to be seen, people's drive to be recognized in their career path. And so the song goes... that my gold walks, my gold talks, my gold gives their love to me, I'm investing in my loved ones, and they're mine eternally. Don't waste your time with money. It'll dry up your soul. Invest your life in others, because they are walking gold. You see, Jesus said it in Matthew 6:33 when he said, seek first the kingdom of God. Very purpose. It doesn't mean you can't seek other things. Like, I seek to please my wife, to raise my kids. But first is the kingdom of God. We've moved off of that. And it says if you'd seek the kingdom first, that all these things you're worried about would be added. So why are we seeking things that have been added when not seeking first the kingdom? This has taken me to a whole nother. I love sharing my faith. And I love listening to people share what they believe. It's not like a monologue. It's a dialogue. I love listening to people and how their journey, of their spiritual journey has been. I've had some of the most fantastic stories and some of the most interesting things shared with me from people that I've met with as we both talked about our journey of seeking for the spiritual things. And I've learned and I've grown and I've had an open door when I've listened. He gave us 2 ears, 1 mouth, there's a sign. When you share Jesus with people, Jesus will do what is necessary to give them a sign. I remember talking with a business friend of mine as I shared with him about my journey, and he talked about his journey, and I said, man, I said, Jesus has changed my world. I said, like, what do you think about him? He said, I don't know, Leon, but I'm glad we talked, because I am seeking. I just don't know if it's Christianity. And I said, well, that's the case. Would you mind if I prayed with you? He said, no, not at all. And so I just very casually said, Father, reveal yourself to him. Just show him that you're real. Simple. And that's all I prayed. Now, what happens is he needs a sign. God's going to do something wonderful in his life. He's going to do a sign. How do we know? Because it's all through the Word. You go from this scripture where Philip invites Nathanael, and God gives Nathanael a sign, knows his name, knows where he was standing, where he had some kind of an epiphany in his life, and Jesus knew it. He knew Peter's name, Father's name, renamed him. So that it must have meant that something unique was taking place and why he had to rename Peter in his personality typing. But if you go to Mark chapter 16, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it talks about go into the world and share the gospel. And then it says some of the signs that would take place, healings, unique protection. That even if someone tried to kill you, God would be there. That if you have any kind of literally spiritual attacks, demonic attacks, that you would be protected from it. And then it talks about praying for people and seeing healing. And then it goes on to say the last line, and verse 20, it says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. This business guy I talked to approached me a little while later, and we got to chat, and he says, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He said, something crazy happened in my life after you prayed. And I said, what? And I didn't understand what he was talking about, because it had to do with the way this company and unionizations and money and an opportunity had taken place. Something had happened to him that had never happened in his life right after I asked God with his permission to reveal himself to him. He said, is that what you're talking about? I said, I have no clue, but I'll tell you, God has a way of speaking to everybody in the language or in the signs and wonders that touches them the deepest. What does that mean to you? I know that could never have happened. Then that's God. You see, God will reveal himself to people uniquely with signs, wonders, unique things that take place as he draws them to himself. It might not take place the first time you share or as they come to church, but God is in love with people, and what he wants for them is greater than anything they would even want for themselves. In John 12:32, Jesus says, and if when I am lifted up from the earth on the cross, I will draw and attract all men, Gentiles as well as Jews, to myself. Interesting. You see, if people know me long enough, They're, something's going to turn them off. You too, don't look at me like that. But if we can explain Jesus to them, something beautiful, something unique takes place. In Jeremiah 1:12, Lord said, "You have seen well." I'm sorry. "For I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it." Is that interesting? That if we just share our story, if we just share a little bit of the good news of Jesus, there's no way you're going to get through all of the counsel of the Bible and the doctrines from the old to the new and the covenants and the dispensations. Good luck. You just share a quick story. And God uses that. And he uses that with signs, with wonders. I shared the story with you, meeting a man in Starbucks. And I just saw him at a table. I'm alone too. Do you mind if I join you? And he said, no. And we chatted about hockey and the Jets and just enjoyed each other's company. And at some point, I just said, you know, you look kind of unhappy when I walked in. You okay? He says, no. My wife's dying at the hospital down the road. I just take breaks during the day. The nurses insist I go get my head together and get out, and I come here for coffee. And our conversation was at a place where I said, you know, I attend a really cool church that prays. Could I just place your wife on our prayer team, her name? And the second I said that, this man's fighting back tears, because anytime someone's going through something, any kindness, it touches us. He said, that'd be cool. That'd be great. That's all I said. I walked back, probably same Starbucks, you know my schedule. 3 months later, maybe I'm back there. And I see this guy. And he looks at me and he says, I got to talk to you. And I said, what? He said, they had given up on her. There was nothing they could do. We were just palliative. We're just dying now. But he says, after you said you wanted people to pray, he said it wasn't but a couple of days later, they said, you know, we're changing our opinion. He didn't know what it was that the doctors and nurses were seeing in her, but now they felt there was something they could do, that her health was changed. And they did that, and things changed, and she started getting better. And he says, I'm just telling you that now they're saying she's not going to die. He was so blown away. What did I do? Just asked him if we could pray for him. You know, all that God is looking for you and me is to lose our arrogance, to lose our fear, to lose trying to convince people, and just share in a beautiful way with walking gold all around us that God's who God is and what Jesus means and what he's done in your life. And if you do that, God picks up the slack. None of that story of the first time Jesus had disciples is an indication to us that when we talk with people about our faith, that's all, that he will bring someone else across their path. He will continue to show them how much he loves them, how much he cares for them, to the point that unique things will take place as he's trying to attract them to a relationship with him. If we could realize how powerful the few words that we use and the little bit of kindness that we show when we represent Jesus and then leave it with him, man, incredible things would happen. So, I got to close. I did something for you. I did a bunch of work to help you with this. And I'm giving you all an assignment. I thought to myself, how could I end this message? Because some of you have heard me preach like 1,000 messages in the last 20 years. And I thought, I'm going to try to find a way to give you the simplest prayer I could to pray for people. And then I thought, there's prayers in Ephesians 1 about the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of you. There's prayers in Ephesians 3 about being strengthened with might in the inner man. And then there's prayers in Colossians 1 being filled with knowledge of his will. There's so many prayers to pray. And I thought, but I want to give a prayer that is done so beautifully that even people who don't want to believe in God would like the prayer. That's a hard task. So I put this one together, and if they'd put it up on the big screen, here's what I decided to do. We've got 5 fonts, pictures of this, and every one of you can download it to your phone anytime today from, if you go to Leon, if you go to my Instagram, my Facebook, go to the top, go to the Springs Church website, you get all these fonts. And I want you to put them on the front of your phones, iPads, computers, because you need to pray this every day. Now, I want to show you the power of this prayer. This is an Old Testament prayer that God commanded the priests to pray over Israel. Now, because of Jesus, we have access to all the promises. So what I did with this prayer is I converted it to a New Testament prayer, a New Covenant prayer. So here's what you would do. You'd go to your phone and you go, I pray for, and let's say that I'm thinking to myself, I want to pray for Julie. It's a lady I know. So the blank is always going to stay there, and it's a blessing. So hey, Lord, I pray for Julie. Now, in the New Testament, the Bible says to speak to things rather than about things. So now I say, God bless you. God protect you. Now, I'm by myself in my car, but I'm praying over a friend named Julie, straight praying to her. God bless you, protect you. God smile on you and be gracious to you. God show you his favor and give you a heart of peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's go through this prayer real quick. Bless you. What does it mean to bless someone? Well, it means nothing in our verse, but in the Bible, it means all of the promises of God coming towards someone. Someone says, well, Leon, what if it's an evil person doing bad things to people? Well, do you really think the presence of God is going to help them do bad things to people? Don't worry about it. He's not going to do that. But he is going to give them an awareness of God. There's going to be, Paul was killing people when the presence of God stopped him and turned him into the greatest soul winner we'd ever seen. So it doesn't matter who you pray it for. You could be praying it for a guy that's tormenting you. Pray it for him. You could be praying for this for your spouse, who you love and knows Jesus. But God bless you, protect you. You could be praying this for a friend who's doesn't sure they want Christianity. They'd be fine with this prayer. Leon, if there's a God, pray it for me. God bless them. Protect them. Why do we want people protecting them? Because the enemy wants to kill people before they make decisions for eternity. So we want them protected. God, and your God bless you. God protect you. God smile on you. I love this word smile because so many people, when they see a picture of God, that's how they see God. And when you look into the face of someone, you know, when mama walks into the room, you look at her face. You know, am I in trouble as a son or what? And when God, I like God smiling. It says, God smile on you. Be gracious to you. In the New Testament, his grace is ours because of Jesus on the cross. So that's how I see this. God be gracious to you. God show you his favor. Favor is something you can't earn anyway. And then it says, and give you a heart of peace. I went through about 4 or 5 translations on this scripture, and the Amplified used the word heart. Others just said peace. And I thought, if we just say, God, give them peace, they're going to think it means bring peace to my situation. But how many know that in life, lots of storms come? I want peace in my heart, which is a beautiful indicator that this person, if you pray this for the same person every day, do you understand what an awareness is going to take place in their life? And if you said to them, hey, yeah, Julie, you know, just cool thing our church is doing. We're all just praying for the people that we respect and care about, and you're one of them that I'm praying. What? What are you praying? Oh, it's a blessing. Oh, okay. In fact, I got it on my phone. I can send it if you want to pray it for yourself. What's beautiful about this isn't that we can't teach you how to pray multiple other ways and the 9 different kinds of prayer, but that this prayer is something that it seems as though God can do nothing without prayer. And how often do you pray for people? Cool, wonderful, business, friends, family, etc. You know, truth be told, not too often. We don't. And so this is a great reminder. And you can also put yourself in there. You know, if you met a friend, he says, Rudy, I want that. Then pray this for yourself. So this guy goes, hey, I pray for myself. God bless me, protect me. God smile on me, be gracious to me. God show me your favor. God give me a heart of peace in Jesus' name, amen. Let's say that your atheist friend decides to pray this prayer. What's going to happen? He's simply going to become more aware. He's inviting God to get involved in his life. He's inviting him to smile on me, protect me. You don't think that God is going to show up and do something unique and beautiful in his life? And so all I did with all the prayers and all the promises in the Bible was simply put something together that you could pray for friends and family, and you could show them to pray for themselves. Now, this is going to be a very practical end to my message. If you, most of us know how to screenshot something, grab the power button and the home button, and it just screenshots it. So you can go to multiple places, whether it's the Springs Church website. Right now, you can take your iPhone. If you're on Instagram, I think it's on mine, I think it's on the church's. Go to the top, push it, and you'll have all five, some like nature, some like parchment, some like cool. You know, the last one's for architects and business people, if you like, you know, the skyscrapers and flowers for the flower, whatever. But you get a screensaver. And its power is in the reminder every time you put it on. Just take 10 seconds. Father, I pray for Bob right now. Pray that you bless him, protect him, your smile about him. And just in no time at all we're doing is giving God permission. We're bringing God into someone's life in a way that one day they'll thank you. And if they ever found out you were doing that, they'd say, well, could you pray it for me? Give them the prayer, have them pray it for you. It's one of those prayers that will just pass the sniff test of, do you think you're better than me? You think, well, I'm a sinner going to hell. What, you think you're better than me? No, I just want God to make himself aware in your life. And on your journey, let him guide you and lead you. So my challenge is next Sunday when I walk the halls, I'll be asking to see cell phones, iPads. Try this and watch the miracles that take place in your life and in the friends' lives. Last point to moms and dads. Any person who is estranged to you, maybe a big fight, you've lost a son for years, maybe in-laws, outlaws, when you pray and you put their name in there, and I'll pick a name, Leonard. Father, I pray for Leonard because I know that he's a great friend of mine or a family member. God, bless you, Leonard. Protect you, Leonard. God, smile on you. Be gracious to you, Leonard. God, show you his favor and give you a heart of peace. In Jesus' name, amen. When you pray for someone, Romans 5:5 goes into action, which is the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. When you pray for someone, it causes a love to form. By that I mean a respect, a valuing, a forgiving, an ability to build the kind of relationship that is to its best potential. Father, I pray that you'd cause each person here to see the value and the purpose of their lives, to reach out and share in a cool, contemporary way the incredible power of Jesus. And that, Father, as we pray for people, that there's going to be an awareness, a blessing upon their lives that's going to bring them on a journey to you. I pray that every one of us would not be lazy or just lackluster, uncaring, asleep at the wheel, but would take this opportunity today to just assist us daily to pray for folks around us. Every head bowed for just a moment. If I want to close my message down in a powerful prayer. It is a prayer of somebody getting right with God. If you're not sure that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, or you know, if you're not sure where you are with him, I want to lead you in a prayer of asking for his forgiveness, believing on him, choosing him. And I promise you, your life will never be the same. So I'm going to pray with everyone. We're all going to pray it as a congregation. But if you're here and you'd say, Leon, please include me today. I want to give my life to him. I want to get right with God. All over the auditorium, just raise your hands up till I see them and put them right back down. Just saying, that's me. Please include me. Thank you. Thank you. Others, thank you. Others, thank you. Thank you. Give me a quick wave. Come into this side. Where's your hand? Just say, yes, I'm making a decision. Thank you. Wonderful. So cool. For those who are watching at our other campuses, there's a leader right now on the stage. Wave at them till they see your hand, put it right back down. Because I'm about to pray in about 10 seconds. I'm going to just pray all of us together. Let's all pray out loud, confidently, with these amazing folks making the most important decision in their lives. It goes like this. Just say, Dear God, Thank you for sending Jesus, who died in my place, paid for my sins. Please forgive me. Come into my life. From today and on, I'm following Jesus as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome. Welcome to God. Welcome to His family.
For more information on Leon and his teachings, visit leonfontaine.com.